pray for Miss Helen Scruggs. We pray for Barbara Stacy. God, we pray that you be with their bodies and be with their health issues they're struggling with. And God, we just ask that you would watch over them during these days. God, we thank you so much for bringing home Miss Ruth's son and his family. And God, just guiding them around the world to bring them back safely. Lord, we just praise you for that. And Lord, we just pray for the Everett family. Lord, just ask that you would be with them today as they got unexpected news last night. And God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would be present in their lives. And God, they can feel you and have a peace that passes all understanding. Lord, we know that there are days and times that we all experience that we don't want. But God, we trust in you, that you are in control, that you're in charge. And God, that you are working all things out for your glory and your honor. Jesus, we love you today. We thank you so much for the sacrifice that you shed on the cross for our sins. God, I just pray that you would be with us during this time. God, that you would speak to us once more. Remind us that you are here, that you love us, and God, you want to use us today. We love you and we thank you and we ask all this in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thank you guys. You may be seated. If you look around, we're a little thin this morning. Got a few things going on. We have a couple families who are dealing with some COVID stuff right now. We had a slight possible exposure at youth on Wednesday night, so a lot of our teenagers are out this morning. And last night, Pastor Timmy and I were at a home of the Everett family. If you have not heard, Miss Barbara Everett passed away unexpectedly yesterday afternoon, and it was just kind of a shock for the family, so please be in prayer for them. It's a really tough time, as you can imagine, to lose someone unexpectedly, and so we're just praying for them this morning. But we're talking about foundations this month, and just want to kind of do a little bit of catch up with you guys. The first week we talked about how foundations are not what they seem. You know, looks can be deceiving. A lot of times, we as people, we would rather have things that look good, feel good, taste good, rather than things that are good. There's so many decisions that we as people, even as Christians and people of the world, we make decisions off of things that look good and feel good, because that's what we want at the time, not necessarily what's best for us in the long run, and especially in eternity. And so we talked about that, and last week Pastor Timmy, he spoke to you guys and talked about how God has laid foundations. We don't really get a say-so in the foundation upon which we build on. That's kind of humbling sometimes. You know, a lot of times when people build their house or they build a structure, they want to lay the foundation, they want to lay it out how they want it, they want to build it like they want it. But God lays the foundation upon which we build on, and we are just building off of what he's done. God has done that. And so today, as we're moving on, we're talking about laying foundations for others. And I just want to share with you, we went on vacation last week. We were at the Gulf Coast, and while we were staying out on the beach, Hannah's playing with the kids and watching the kids, and I was, you know, there. I don't know if some of you dads are like this or not, but I'm not always like right there in the midst of everything. I enjoy watching them and watching a lot of other stuff going on. And about three lots down from where we were staying, they were building this high-rise hotel right on the coast. And, you know, we're talking about foundations. We're talking about building. We're talking about God doing something great and amazing in our life. And I was just sitting there watching them, and they had already had this hotel built about 15, 20 stories in the air. And we're sitting there watching them. They had this big, huge crane. It's stationed right beside the hotel. They're lifting up forms and concrete forms all day long for 5 days. They were lifting up forms. They were lifting up materials. Then by about Thursday or Friday, they were lifting up these big, huge vats of concrete. And they were lifting this up. They'd take it up there. They'd drop the bottom out of that vat. Concrete would be poured to where it was supposed to be. And basically, they were just building the next floor. And I was thinking so much about how amazing it is that they were just laying one floor on top of another. And I was like, you know, God really knows what he's doing. Do you believe that this morning? I believe with all my heart that God really knows what he's doing. Because I'd already had this sermon laid out, kind of the scripture picked out for it and everything before we left, as soon as we started with week one. And we were talking about laying foundations for others. And this morning, it's super important for us to understand that, yes, Jesus Christ is the foundation upon which we build on. He's the cornerstone, okay? He's the thing in which we're going to be measured by. When we stand before God in eternity one day, it's not going to matter what the world says, what we say, or what we think. We're going to be measured according to Christ. How we build our life horizontally in this physical world, how we build our life vertically for the eternal world. We're going to be measured off the cornerstone. But I don't know if you guys realize this or not, we're 2,000 years into this, right? I mean, Jesus came. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus came. And so basically there's a structure that's been built, the church, God's kingdom, that's being built for the past 2,000 years. And you and I are coming in on this thing, you know, midways, tail end of the project, and you and I have been called and charged to build on top of what other people have been doing. And I was sitting there and I was watching this, and Hannah kind of got a little aggravated with me because I probably spent more time watching them build the building and work the crane than I actually spent watching and hanging out and talking with the family this week. But it was just amazing watching them build. It was just like God spoke so clearly. He was like, you know, like you look at all those floors right there, the floor that they're building on top of is basically just another foundation. It's like there is a foundation to that building. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But the next floor that they were building it on top of another floor. And you and I this morning are living a life to where we're building on top of a foundation that other people have laid for us, that Jesus Christ has laid for us. And you're also building a foundation that people behind you are going to come in and build off of. I don't know if you ever thought about that before. It's kind of scary. It's kind of intimidating to think about that the way that you live your life, the decisions that you make, the choices, and it could be anything from financial, educational, emotional, physical, everything that you do in this life, you are laying a foundation for other people to build off of. Super intimidating, super convicting to me whenever I was sitting around thinking about this. And I want us to understand this morning that yes, Jesus Christ is the foundation upon which we are all building. I don't know if you know this or not, but think about what it takes for a 20-story building to be built and sit out there on the sand and to stand up. Not counting wind, not counting erosion, but just the simple fact that it was built on sand and it's still there. What did Jesus say about building on sand? Don't do it. It's foolish. But yet there was a building sitting there. It was like 20 stories tall, and they were adding to it and building it on up. And it was there. Last year, Orange Beach had a hurricane come through, and many of the homes that were on the coastline and around had a lot of damage. They were still being repaired. But it was the high rises, the big buildings, you couldn't tell anything had happened to them. And I'm like, God, how in the world do they do this? And so I started researching a little bit. Hannah's got an uncle. He's an engineer in Charleston. I actually called him this week and chatted with him a little bit. And I was reading up on it, but I wanted to make sure, so I called him and got his advice. And he was talking about, you know, when you build on the coast, you see all these houses built on these telephone poles at the beach, right? Like they're just elevated. It's basically for flooding for the most part, but you got to have a good foundation to build it on. So they drive these pylons in the ground. So for these high rises, what they'll do is they'll take concrete or steel and they'll drive it in the ground. And said anywhere between 70 to over 100 feet, you got to drive these things down until you can't drive it anymore, right? You got to excavate just so much, about as far down as you can dig, drive these pylons down the ground until you can't drive them anymore, and then you start building your structure. You do your reed bar, you do everything you can, and you pour this concrete cap on top of everything that you're doing that's going to be the foundation upon which everything else is built on. And this morning, I want you to understand that we are building on a trustworthy and true foundation. Absolutely trustworthy and true. It stood for 2,000 years. It's going to be here until the end. And it's one of those things, when the foundation was built, when Jesus, the cornerstone, came, it changed the entire world. We talked about this Wednesday night in our Bible study. When Jesus came, he did not come in a time where we had global media. He did not come in a time where we had influencers and people to spread his message and a postal service that you could just mail all this stuff around. He came in a time where it was very isolated. He was one of the least people among his own people, and the people of Israel was one of the least groups of people in the entire Roman Empire, and when Jesus came, he changed the entire world. We are building on a foundation that is trustworthy and true. You can have confidence, and Isaiah talked about that. You can build on top of Jesus Christ and be confident in it. You don't have to worry. But this morning, we're talking about how Jesus wants to use us. He wants to use you, every single one of us in this room, to lay a foundation for others to build on top of. We don't always think about that. A lot of times we're so focused on our life and our relationship with the Lord and what we can do and what we can accomplish. We very rarely think about the people who are coming behind us to build on top of us. But we see this so much in Scripture. Let's read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he's talking to them about what it means to be a part of the family of God, what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God. And the Ephesians were not Israelites. They were Gentiles, all right, which means they weren't Jewish. They weren't Abraham's people. And so when Paul writes to them, look at what he says in verse 19. It says, "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners." Any of you ever been somewhere you felt like a stranger or a foreigner? Super intimidating, super awkward. You don't ever really know what it's like to be a minority or be a foreigner or not be able to communicate until you go somewhere different, and you just can't. It's super intimidating. And so he's saying you are no longer strangers and foreigners. When you're around familiar people, when you're accepted in, there is so much security and freedom and the ability to be accepted that we take for granted a lot of times. And so he says you are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. Now they are a part of it. They have been brought in. You are members of God's family. Verse 20, together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Jesus himself. Paul is saying something in this passage that is very, very important to understand, that when we are sitting in here today, you and I are building our lives on a foundation that other people have laid before us, whether we realize that or not. Some of you have had good foundations laid before you in various ways. Some of you have had bad foundations laid before you in various ways. We all get dealt different hands, whatever the Lord. I wish I had explanations for a lot of stuff. Does that make sense? I mean, like, it's just kind of is what it is. But we all have foundations, and even in this church, like, we're meeting in a new building. It hasn't been here that long. This is a new service that we've started since COVID. You are sitting here this morning, and some of you have only been coming to this service. You've never been to a service in our sanctuary. You're building your spiritual journey, your life, off of a foundation that many people before us have laid up in that building, have laid in the old building where they used to meet even before they built the new sanctuary. We're building on top of what other people have done. Paul acknowledges this, the apostles and the prophets, everything that we do is built off of all the people that we read about in Scripture, their decisions, their attitudes, their faithfulness, their relationship with the Lord, and then even people that we know, parents and people like that. But the cornerstone is Jesus. He's the first. He's upon which everything else is measured. And everything else is just built off of him from that point on. Verse 21, we are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. And so this morning, I want you to understand that when we're talking about this, God loves you. I'm trying to make eye contact with every single one of you in this room. God loves you, God cares about you, God has called you. God wants you to be a part of His family. He wants to do a great work in your life, and He also wants to use you to do a great work in other people's lives in this world. You are a part of His temple that He's building. And when we talk about temple, we're not talking about a physical structure that God is like getting together physical materials to build a physical building. David did that. He stored up all the materials. Solomon built the temple. And while God was appreciative in some ways, there was still this attitude of, how can you build a home to house me? I'm God. I'm the one who created everything. And so God's temple is not this physical building that He's building. It's a spiritual temple that He's calling us, and He wants to build it with the souls and spirit of all of us. You with me this morning? Super important to understand. Super important to realize. We are being made apart. We're being carefully joined together to build this temple made of soul and spirit for the Lord, which pleases Him because He wants to be with us. And He wants more people than just us to be with Him. You with me this morning? So it's not just about us. This sermon this morning is not just about your personal relationship with the Lord. It's the understanding that you have a calling on your life to make sure that other people can have a personal relationship with the Lord, so that the work continues to be done throughout the future. So point number one, you have been brought in as part of the building. You're part of the family. You're part of God's family. You're part of the building. You're part of the structure. You're part of the eternal plan that God is trying to do. And like it or not, you and I are part of something so much bigger than ourselves. I'll say it again. You and I are a part of something that's so much bigger than ourselves. For some of us, that's really hard to hear. But if you take a step back, you breathe, and you really think about this, it's very freeing to understand that we are a part of something so much bigger than ourselves. Because if any of you have ever had the responsibility of being in charge of a big project or a massive group of people or anything like that, it is very overwhelming. It will age you quickly. I mean, like you look at the presidents of the United States, if they stay in office for 8 years and you take a before and after picture, the weight of the responsibility ages them significantly. And when you realize this morning that we are a part of something so much bigger than ourselves, it's freeing to us in a lot of ways. And I want you to understand, Jesus Christ came to bring us freedom, right? He came to help us realize we're part of something so much bigger than ourselves. And while, yes, there is a huge responsibility and a huge calling on our life, we are simply called to do the task in which God has charged us with. And that's all that we can do. He's called us to do that. And you and I are the material upon which God wants to use to build His holy temple. I don't know if you ever thought about that, but you're the material upon which God wants to use. The question is, are you going to allow yourself to be used to do this? It's not a structure of cement or stones or lumber or any other physical materials. God literally wants to use you. And the question of the day is, are you going to allow yourself to be used? Because a lot of people get real picky, right? We want to be used for stuff that we feel is valuable and things that we want to accomplish. And for so many people, they don't ever feel like they're being used the way they want to. And so they struggle with that. Materials are important. Some of you have built here recently. How hard is it to get materials these days? There have been so many projects that have been postponed just by the simple fact of builders cannot get the materials in order to complete the project. They have the workers, they have the time, they don't have the materials to complete it. The materials is huge. And the structure can't be built without the materials. And you are sitting here this morning, and I want you to understand that God wants to use you. And I want you to understand this morning that we have to be humble enough to let God use us however He wants to. And that's hard. Because when you're building a structure, you might get a load of 2x4s brought in. And some of us, like, we want to be used. We want the whole board to be used, right? We want to be used completely. Like, we don't want to waste. And we feel like if we waste anything, that's bad. But in the building process, like, you just understand that there are some waste. There are some things that get cut. Like, you're going to have scrap pieces of wood. Sometimes you can use them. Sometimes you have to throw them away. We have to be humble enough this morning and say, God, however you want to use me, I just want to be part of the temple. Some of you may be used as a full 8-foot stud in the wall. Some of you may be the 16-inch bracing in between. And it doesn't mean that one is less valuable than the other, because all of them have to be joined together in order to make the structure work and hold up. And we're all built on the same foundation. You with me? We're all built on Jesus Christ. We're all accomplishing the same purpose. And I want to tell you this morning, God wants to use you. He does. He wants to use every single one of you. There's not a person in this room that is not good enough, is not worthy enough, is not talented enough. There's nothing in this room that you lack in order to be used by God, other than the simple fact that you may not be willing to let Him use you. God wants to use you. Point number two, the apostles and the prophets laid a foundation for us. You know, if you think about this, and it's not just the apostles and the prophets, there's so many other people. I mean, Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He's the foundation, all right? He's upon the thing which everybody else has been built on, and He's a trustworthy and true foundation. Abraham, Noah, Moses, the prophets, the apostles, everybody we read about in the New Testament, there are people here at Graham Chapel, people like Billy Graham, people like Mother Teresa. There's all kinds of people throughout the world, all kinds of Christians who have built this foundation, this next floor for you to come and to be able to build on in this moment in time. They've laid that foundation for you to be able to build on. And it's scriptural. I mean, you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. If you're following along in your Bibles, you can stay there. We're going to read a couple of verses later on from the same passage. But Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and look what he says. Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now, if you read Paul's writing, sometimes he sounds very confident, almost like borderline arrogant. Because there's some passage he says, follow me. As I serve Christ, do as I do. Follow my example in serving Christ. For us, that would seem kind of confident and, you know, maybe a little prideful. But basically, he was confident in Jesus Christ. He believed that he was serving Christ in a way that, hey, follow me as I'm serving him and we can do this together. And he was encouraging people to come and follow him. And in this moment, he's saying, I've laid the foundation like an expert builder. And it's not that he's discrediting Jesus Christ in any way, shape, or form. Actually, in this process, when we're talking about laying a foundation for someone else to come and build on top of, we're giving more credit and honor and glory to Jesus Christ in those moments. Because when I was sitting there watching that building go up, and I was thinking, wow, how in the world are they 20 stories up in the air, and they're continuing to add another floor, and to think that for something to be able to withstand that pressure, you have to have a foundation that is so good that it keeps it from sinking on the ocean shore, which is really impressive. And then it's got to be able to withstand flooding, which is impressive. And then it has to be able to withstand hurricane force winds, which is impressive. And as I was talking to Hannah's uncle this past week, he says, you know, when you're designing skyscrapers and high rises and stuff, you're not just battling horizontal or even like downward pressure or anything like that. He said, when you start building buildings that big and the wind begins to blow, it's trying to lift the building off the ground. So you're not just like setting it on the ground so it doesn't turn over, it doesn't sink. You're actually anchoring it to the ground so it doesn't lift up off the ground. And when you begin to talk about, okay, we're 2,000 years into this game. We're living for Jesus Christ. We're living a life that is glorifying and honored to Him. We're laying a foundation for people to come behind us. And what that does is it gives great testimony to the foundation of Jesus Christ upon which we were built on, that someone can come behind us and build on the floor that we laid so they can build the next floor. Does that make sense? And we're building on a foundation that isn't limited. Like, there's a certain limit to that skyscraper that they were, or that high rise that they were building on. There's only so many floors they could go. It's only rated for so much. You and I are building on a foundation of Jesus Christ that has no limits. It has been built in such a way that we can build outward and we can build vertically as far as we can go until he decides to return and he brings us all into our eternal homes with him. There's no limit on it. And so as we continue to build in our lives and we prepare the way for others to come behind us, we are only giving glory and honor to Jesus Christ for a foundation that is capable of withholding 2,000 years of level after level after level after level after level. We're giving glory and honor to him. Look at the second half of verse 10. Now others are building on it. It was made to be built on. Jesus Christ laid a foundation that was made to be built on. You are living your life and you're building horizontally in this physical world. Hopefully you're building vertically for the eternal world. You're building a structure that is intended to be built on top of what you are doing. So many times in our life, we would love to think that what we're building is the penthouse, like the top floor, like we got the best view, we're the best one, all that stuff. You're not. You're just another floor in the grand scheme of things. It's not a bad thing. It's just the way that it is. The project's never going to be completed until Jesus comes back and says, it's done. It's time to call it. And we're going to hold everybody accountable. And every floor that's been laid before you will be judged according to Jesus Christ and the cornerstone upon which he is. And then every floor that you lay is going to be judged according to that cornerstone. And every floor that's going to be laid on top of yours, every level that comes after you is going to be judged according to that cornerstone. It was made to be built on. And you look at the last part of that verse, it says, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. I want to share with you this morning, it's not a game. Your spiritual life, your relationship with Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ has called you to, it's not a game. It's not something that is to be taken lightly. We as Americans are so internally focused on what we want, what makes us feel good, and what we like, and what we prefer. It has never, never, never been about us. It's always been about Jesus Christ. It's always been about giving testimony to the foundation upon which we were all building on and making it possible for the next people to come along to build on top of what we've done. And point number three, Jesus Christ is the true foundation and cornerstone. It doesn't take away from him. The foundation that you lay, the floor that you're building, it doesn't take away from him. It gives testimony to him. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. Everything that's being built on top of him. You might be the next brick that was laid on top of somebody else, and somebody else might be the next brick that's laid on top of you, but he's the true foundation. It doesn't take credit away from him. It gives him glory. Paul was building on a foundation that was already laid through Jesus Christ, and you and I are building on top of what Paul and the other apostles and other people who have come before us have laid in front of us. It's a process. Point four, you are laying a foundation for those coming behind you. We are not completing the project. We are not the finished carpenters. We don't come in and do the finished work and then say, oh, the building's complete. Have fun. Dwell in it. That's what we want. We want to go dwell in the finished product. We want to enjoy it. We want to partake of it. We want to have it and enjoy it. But that's not what you and I have been called to do. You're material in that building process. You are called to help in the building process, but it's never finished. It is a project that will keep being built and laid upon and laid upon and laid upon until Jesus Christ returns. And we've got to get this attitude and mentality out of our minds of thinking that what we're doing is the finishing product, because it's not. We are simply laying the next level, the next foundation layer for someone to come behind us and build on top of. Paul is building off Jesus. The apostles are building off Jesus. The early church leaders building off of them. So on and so on and so on. There are people in your life. I want you to think about this. There are people in your life who have spiritually poured into you. I cannot tell you how valuable those people are to me, who have poured into me and influenced me spiritually over the years. I can't tell you how valuable they are. I'm so thankful for the people who went ahead of me and who did what God called them to do, said the things God told them to say, lived the way that God called them to live, because if they would not have, I would have been building my life on a foundation that would have been crumbling. But you are called to build on the foundation that's there, that's trustworthy, that's true. And Paul continues to talk about this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12, the very next verse, just following those other two, it says, anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials. It's your choice. It's your life. You get to choose what the materials are, the material that you want to be. And I don't know if you've ever been involved in a building project or not, but you've heard me talk about it a lot. I was. And it stinks, man, because there's a lot of stuff that you want to do, a lot of stuff you know that you need to do, but you don't always have the money to do everything that you should or want to do. And so you got to make decisions on what's priority and what you're going to cut and what you're going to cheap out on. And I want to tell you today that in this physical world where we're limited, there might be projects you have to cut on. You might have to cheap out on. But in your spiritual life, you cannot cheap out. Don't cheap out on it, because you know it shows. It shows, it reveals itself very quickly on the things that you cheap out on. And when Paul talks about this, he talks about things like gold and silver and jewels. Things that are precious, things that are valuable, things that you can use that are permanent. It doesn't corrode. It doesn't rot. It doesn't fade away. It will always be there. It's one of those things that lasts forever. And then there's things like wood, hay, and straw, which we know wood rots. It fades away. Straw, hay, it doesn't last very long. I watched a documentary of a guy in the UK who built an entire mansion out of mud and straw. Like, it was absolutely fascinating how he did it. I mean, it's like, this huge, magnificent house is way cooler than my house, and he did it with mud and straw. You get to choose the material upon which you are building on what's been laid before you. And you can cheap out, and you can use straw, and you can use hay, and you can even use things like wood. And wood's one of those building materials. It's great. A lot of houses are built with wood. Most of your houses are probably built with wood. Probably so. But it rots and it decays, and it has to be maintained in order to keep it being structural and livable. But if you build with things that are eternal, you don't have to maintain it. You don't have to do anything to it. If it's eternal, if you choose the things that are going to last forever, if you choose to live your life in such a way that you're investing in God's kingdom, that you're living and you're investing in the eternal, you don't have to worry about it fading away. And you don't have to worry about your children who are coming behind you, and your grandchildren, and your coworkers, and your church family who's coming in behind you and building after you, and worrying that what they are building on top of that you laid is going to collapse and fall. And so many people in the American church has built their floor, their level, with materials that were subpar. They cheaped out. And that's one of the reasons why so many people have abandoned that and went and tried to build somewhere else. We have to make sure that we are sold out, that we don't cheap out, and that we're building a foundation that someone can come behind us. Because I want you to think about it. When they built the first floor on that high rise that I was sitting there watching, it wasn't just the simple fact of they had to get it right and they had to get it on top of that foundation. It had to be strong enough to hold up the next 20 floors that were going to be built on top of it. And floor 2 had to be strong enough to hold up the next 19 floors. And floor 3, 18. You understand what I'm saying? You have to build with the materials. You have to live your life in such a way that whenever people come and build on top of what you've done, that it's not going to collapse and it's not going to deteriorate, it's not going to fall away. Because if you watched the news last month, any of you see the condos in Miami? And how they just collapsed. And just like that, it was done. You couldn't have demoed the building any better than what just happened. It just fell in. Don't live your life in a way that people are coming behind you to build on top of what you've done, and you're setting them up for failure. Live your life in a way that is glorifying and honoring God, that gives testimony to the foundation of Jesus Christ. And since I've been so serious this morning, and such a heavy, heavy message, I want to encourage you, don't be afraid to build. Guys, look at me. Before we leave today, I want you to look at me. I want you to understand something. God wants to use you. God wants you to be a part of His family, a part of His temple, a part of His structure that He is building for eternity. He wants you to take part in the process of building this eternal home. We can't be afraid to build. And I want you to understand this morning, yes, it is intimidating. Yes, it isn't fun to go and work and do things like that. Brian can tell you, when you're in the middle of building all that, it stinks to do it. But when it's done, it's worth it. It's worth it in the end. At the time, it stinks. There's a lot of you sitting in here this morning, a lot of you who are watching online, who are yet to make that decision of whether or not this is worth doing. And I want to tell you, yes, it's hard work. Yes, it's going to be a struggle. But the result at the end is going to be very much worth it. And if you choose not to do it, it doesn't change the fact that God has called you to do it. God has called every single one of you. Some of you, you might be the 16-inch bracing in the wall. Some of you might be a full 8-footer. Some of you might be one of the most important beams that spans the gap to hold up the next level. We don't get to choose how God uses us in the process. We just humble ourselves and allow Him to use us in the way that He sees fit. We are called to be nothing but faithful. You are not called to complete the project. You can't complete it. We will never complete it. We are just part of it. He will complete it. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 through 10, the author writes, and he's talking about heroes of faith, people who were just so faithful to God, believed in God when it didn't make sense. And he's talking about Abraham, and he says, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in tents, and so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. Now I want you to think about this. What would have happened if God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to follow me. I want you to leave behind your family and everything that you know. I want you to move to this foreign land where I'm going to bless you. I'm going to use you to bring about the Savior of the world so that all men and women and people can experience salvation and give them eternal life. And I'm going to do that through you. And Abraham said, nah, it's not for me. I don't want to do it. An entire level of the structure completely missing, gone undone. It was something as simple as Abraham moving and living in a tent like a foreigner that God said, this is floor number one. From Genesis chapter 12 until the end of Scripture, the rest of the Bible is literally based off of Abraham's faithfulness to move to a foreign land and live in a tent like a foreigner, and the rest is history. And if he would have said no, how would God have brought about salvation in Jesus Christ through the world? I believe he would have found a way, but the story would be very different. You with me this morning? You are sitting here, and you have to make a decision in your life whether or not you are simply going to do what God has called you to do. And for so many people, we feel like, oh, we got to stand up. We've got to preach in front of thousands or millions of people if we want to do this and be valuable or be used by God. Or we got to do something great and amazing. He moved to a foreign land and he lived in a tent. And he is commended in Scripture as being the man of having more faith than anyone who's ever lived. And because of his faithfulness to God, to do that simple thing that God called him to do, you and I get to experience salvation today because he did floor number one. The question is whether or not you're going to be faithful to complete the floor that God has called you to be working on, so that your family, your coworkers, your children, your grandchildren, guys, there are going to be people who come after us that are going to build on top of the floor that we're building now. You know, I told you earlier, there's people who are sitting in this room right now have never attended a service up in that sanctuary. And they're building here at Graham Chapel on top of what so many faithful people have already built before them. You and I have to understand that we're not just talking about people that we do know. We're talking about people we'll never see or meet who are going to come after us and build on a foundation on the next floor that you and I have laid for them. And the question is whether or not we're going to be faithful and do it. Don't be scared. Don't be scared that you're going to fail. The biggest failure is not to build at all. But sell out. Do it. Do it the right way. Don't cheap out. Use the best. Use everything that you have in your life to serve the Lord and be the 16-inch bracing in the wall. Just say, God, I'll be whatever you want me to be. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And if you do that, he will give you the ability and the strength and the wisdom to accomplish whatever it is that he's calling you to. And we can celebrate in that. We don't have to leave here today sad or stressed or burdened to think, oh man, I haven't been doing this. I haven't laid a good foundation. It doesn't matter what has been done. Only thing that matters is what's being done from today on. Make the choice to do what God has called you to do, to be who God's called you to be, to serve how God has called you to serve. And if you do that, that's all that you can do. He will give you the strength and the power to do anything that he has called you to do. He calls and he equips whoever he calls. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful to be here today. So thankful to be a part of your family and a part of your temple. And Lord, just to know that as foreigners, as outsiders, Lord, we can all be welcomed in to your family and your kingdom. I pray, Jesus, that we would not only be focused on having salvation and getting our life right, but God, that we would live in such a way so that others can follow behind us. Lord, you have called every one of us to be ministers and witnesses of your gospel. And I pray that we would do that with faithfulness. And even if it means the little things, even if we never feel like we're important, Lord, you know that the smallest nail, the smallest screw, anything that is built in that house to hold it all together, all gives praise and honor and glory to the foundation and to the creator upon which it was built. Jesus, help us to bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed this morning.